You're listening to a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, visit streamschurch.org.
Let me get right into it because we got a lot to cover. We've been doing a sermon series called Stop, Start, and Continue for the first of the year. We've been trying to talk to God and ask God for our own lives in one area. What do you want us to stop? What do you want us to start? What do you want us to continue? And the problem is that there's so many areas we could work on. Me too. And so many voices that we could listen to. So we really want to hear God's voice because God is patient, we're going to learn today, with our progress, and He's patient with our journey. So what is the thing, God, that you would like me to do? So we talked about last week how to hear God's voice. We said the Word of God. We said the promptings or impressions from a personal relationship with God. As you're in a relationship with Him, He just drops things into your heart. We talked about fresh, specific revelations from God, that as you're reading God's Word and something jumps off the page, as you go, I know that's for this situation at this time. And then last week, we talked about prophetic words. And it was really exciting because some people were telling me, it felt like we had just something new was being birthed in our church. And I agree with that. I want that to happen. So I want to share with you a story, a little bit about my life. And as I was thinking about whether or not to share this, I'll be honest with you, I'm pretty honest and open all the time. I know you don't get that, but I am. I don't really hide anything from my life. And I wasn't taught that way when I was growing up in ministry. I was taught, never let them see you sweat. You got to be the man of faith and power and all this stuff like that. So I was reading this week the Garden of Gethsemane story where Jesus goes off to pray with Peter, James, and John. And there's a moment in there, He turns to those three and He says, "My soul is overwhelmed even to the place of death." That's pretty honest, right? And then He goes off to pray and they fall asleep. And He comes back and He says, "Could not you pray with me 1 hour? And He goes off and prays again. The first time he prays, "God, if you could take this from me, I'm sort of done. I would really take it from me." And then the second time he prays, "Well, not my will, but yours," and goes away for an hour and then comes back. And the third time he prays the same thing. Every time they fall asleep. And when I grew up, you got hammered if you couldn't pray for an hour. That was the essence of that scripture. If you can't pray for an hour, Jesus is frustrated with you. That was the essence of that scripture. And I even had a sermon series I was taught once, is there something magical that happens at the 61st minute? And so I'm trying to figure out, I fall asleep for 2 minutes. Does that count? Do I have to deduct that? There was a moment that this girl walked in while I was praying and I sort of looked up and went, do I have to deduct that? So I'm trying to work through this 60 minutes, right? And I was reading the scripture this week. I thought, that's not the scripture at all. It has nothing to do with it. It has to do with the fact that Jesus had come to this moment of despair in His life. A very dark moment. And He turned to the people that He knew the best and said, "Do you have my back on this one? Because right now, my soul is overwhelmed to the point of death." And so the Lord spoke to me and said, "I never called you to be the person that hides who you are." And Jesus said that. Not only did Jesus say that, God said, "Hey, Matthew, make sure everybody in the world knows about that story. I want everybody that ever lives to know that in His humanity, Jesus came to a very dark place in His life." That's freedom to me. A lot better than the other one. That's freedom. So, with that note, last week I went to go see one of my spiritual advisors. He's a man who advises pastors all over the United States. And I just said, "Hey, there's nothing wrong in my life. I love my wife. I love my church. I just have this perfect life. But for some reason, I have this perfect life, but my energy level is just in the tank. And it has been for a while. And I just wanted to talk to you about that. And I've been through a lot the last 3.5 years. I almost died. And I went through all the stories, right, of all those things like that. Some of the other things that happened." And I thought that was the reason why. He stops me right in the middle of it. He goes, "Time out." He goes, "I feel like I'm supposed to ask you, tell me about your pain and the medication that helps your pain." And he said, "Do you know anybody in the ministry that really deals with as much as pain as you do? And those who've been around me know that I deal with a lot of pain." I go, no, I don't." He goes, "Tell me about the medications they prescribe." And so I began to tell him. And then I remembered last November, I went to my family doctor and I got a checkup. Everything's very healthy, except for some of these issues. And he saw what the pain guys was prescribing on top of what he was prescribing. And he goes, "Man, this stuff will make you really stupid." His words. And I said, "People have been saying that on Sunday morning for a long time." No, I didn't say that. He even said, "I don't want you preaching on this stuff." That's what he said. "We got to figure this out." And so all of a sudden, my spiritual counselor is saying to me, this, you can't live on this stuff. He goes, you're a man of passion. I've known you for 20 years. You love God. You love life. You love your church. You love your wife. He goes, I've known thousands of pastors, and only two things takes a man of passion and just makes him feel like that. And he goes, debilitating sin, which I know is not your problem, or pain and medication. It will zap your passion. And he says, you need to make this the first priority for the next season in your life to figure out what you need to do. He goes, even your church needs to understand this. So that's what I'm telling you. That's got to be the first priority, because so we can get you reducing pain and reducing medication. So I'm telling that story, right? To tell you. So this is what I'm going through this week. There's a reason I'm telling you the story. So he says, we got to get you refreshed. So Friday morning, hearing from God. This is our topic, right? I get a text from a young man in our church. He says, good morning. I felt moved to pray for you yesterday, and that the Lord would refresh you and reveal himself to you in a new way. I know we don't get to talk much, but I just wanted to tell you that I really value and appreciate your leadership. Thank you for being a good father to our church. Well, then Friday night we had our seeking service. And in our seeking service, it's a moment and a time where we just get to sort of allow God to speak to us. And we had a 10-minute period that we just got silent as And we said, let's just see what God's speaking to our hearts. We've been talking about hearing from God. And we had this 10-minute period. And then at the end of the session, Jeremiah said, tell somebody what the Lord spoke to you. And a beautiful young lady in our church came to me, and she said, I know you don't know me, but as we were praying, we had been in Morocco, and I saw this beautiful wall. It was a mosaic wall, and behind it was sort of this rock, and there was these, I think I'm getting it right, random sort of water spigots that were coming out of the mosaic. And she goes on to describe that she was told the reason that they're random is because the water from the rock sort of goes through in these crevices that have been carved out. And so wherever those are, they put the spigot there so the fresh water can be used. And they go to fill up their water devices, containers, whatever you want to call it. And somebody goes, no, you can't do that. You got to throw out the old water before you put the fresh water in. This is fresh water. It's refreshing. And you've got to do that. And I'm like, okay. Then after the seeking service, this gentleman comes to me and he goes, I know we're new to the church, but I just want to tell you the way that you and your staff operate and what I saw up there, that you weren't just a figure. And it's just refreshing to be in a church where the staff loves each other and cares and it's more like a family. How many people believe God spoke to me last week, right? Over and over, and confirmed it and confirmed it and confirmed it. And I don't know why he has to keep confirming it. Well, actually, you're going to find out a reason why. So today's topic just happens to be, which I already knew what it was going to be, how do you know that it's God's word that he just spoke to you? And how do you confirm that? So we're going to talk about a very famous scripture, Judges chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. We're going to talk about today how you can know that God's speaking to you. Just, that's the way my life is. Whenever I have to preach on something that God, that week, sort of sets me up for it. So I need to start speaking more about prosperity and stuff like that. Right, don't you think? How to be a millionaire. Verse 11. Chapter 6, verse 11. The angel of the Lord, and I just want to stop there for a second, because most theologians, and I would agree with this, believe that is Jesus. It says the angel of the Lord. And it goes on later on to keep, he says the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. So let's, when you hear that, it's God, it's Jesus, it's the Lord. The angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash, the Abrezrite, however you say that, and where his son Gideon. Anybody ever heard of Gideon? So Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. Packed it away for a second. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And so God is showing up and he says to him, I just want you to know you are a mighty warrior. And listen to what Gideon says. Pardon me? My Lord, Gideon replied. But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of the Midian. And what had happened, if you read in chapter 6, is Israel was sinning, and because they were sinning, God allowed the Midianites to come and just sort of ravage the place. And so they would come in, especially when it's time for crops, they would come in, take all the crops, destroy the land, and leave. And the Israelites were actually hiding in the caves when they were doing that, and in the clefts of the rock. And so Gideon's here doing the wine press and getting the grain, and he's trying to hide it because he knows the Midianites are coming. In fact, verse 5 of chapter 6 says, the Midianites came up with their livestock and tents like swarms of locusts, and it was impossible to count them. And they invaded the land to ravage it. So, verse 14, it says, the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? And Gideon replied, pardon me, my Lord, how can I save Israel? I love this. My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. He says, we are the smallest, skinniest, whitest people in family in the whole tribe. We're just those people. And I'm the weakest of my family. So we're the weakest clan, and I'm the weakest guy. So the Lord answered, because this is a huge calling. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving them alive. So here's God speaking to him. It's a big, big request. He calls him a mighty warrior. I'm going to do this through you. And listen to what Gideon's response was. Verse 17, Gideon replied, if now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign. How do I know it's really you, Lord? Give me a sign that it's really you're talking to me. So please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. And I love this. And the Lord said, I'll wait till you return. Listen to me. God was not mad that Gideon asked for a confirmation. He asked the Lord to wait. And what did the Lord do? He waited. And this is not the day of microwaves or fast food. He had to go prepare a goat. And it took a long time. And he went, I won't go into the whole preparation, but he had to go get the goat, take care of it, do all the stuff, clean it, cook it. So the Lord sits probably back under the tree, and he's da 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 da. And he's sitting there, and he's waiting, and he's waiting, and he's waiting, and he's waiting. And it takes a long time, and Gideon comes back. So Gideon sets up the altar with rocks, and he puts the cooked goat on it. And then the Lord says, put broth all over it. Make it just juicy like barbecue. Let's just do that. And when he does, the Lord takes out his staff. He touches the rock. The rock explodes in fire and consumes the entire offering. There's your sign. And some of you know what I'm talking about. So if you go on in the story, you read chapter 6, God begins to do some miracles through Gideon. And so Gideon gets his sign, and guess what? Verse 36, Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand as you promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor, and if there's dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand as you said. And this is what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed out a fleece and wrung out the dew in a bowl full of water. So God goes, boof, with the offering. And Gideon goes, that's good, but can I have a second sign? And guess what? God's not mad. And God's not angry. And God gives him a second time. So then Gideon believes. No, he doesn't. Verse 39. Then Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece, but this time make the fleece dry and let the ground, let's turn it around, let the ground be covered with dew. And that night God did so, only the fleece was dry and all the ground was covered with dew. And at this time, I'm probably going, if I'm God, Yeah, I'm going to the next guy because right now this is starting to get old. But God doesn't do that, does he? God said it's not a problem. So please understand this. God is okay with us asking for confirmation when he speaks to us. He's patient. It's not that I doubt that God speaks. It's just sometimes I doubt my ability to hear what he's saying. And so there are tons of distractions, and God will wait for you. He'll wait for you to know that it's him. So I'm going to finish the rest of the story. So Gideon then calls for the armies of Israel, and 32,000 men show up. And God says to him, that's too many people, because if I save you, or if you get saved by this, you're going to say, we did it because our army was so big, and you're not going to give me the glory that I deserve. So we got to cut that number down. So Gideon stands before the army. He says, listen, if you're afraid, if you live in fear, I'm going to release you now. And 22,000 men leave. They're like, we'll be praying for you. God bless you. And they leave. So he's down to 10,000 people. And God says to Gideon, that's too many. You got to cut that down again. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to go down to the water and tell every guy to get a drink. And every man that laps like a dog, that gets down on all four, and that's how they drink out of their... I want you to separate those guys from the other guys. And Gideon's like, great, I get to get rid of the crazy people. I mean, we're just going to get those guys removed. And so they go down and they're doing their whole thing. And the way Gideon separates them is he finds this big old bone and he goes, and he throws it over and they all go running. No, that's not true. It's not in the Bible. I just want to make sure you know that. So he separates the dog lappers from the non-dog lappers. And then God says, take the dog lappers. Those guys, and I'm going to save you with those 300 people so that all Israel will know that I am God. And so Gideon does that, and he sends the rest away. And he's like 300 men. And guess what? Gideon is afraid, and he needs another sign. Chapter 7, verse 9. This is after he gets down to 300 people. It says, during that night, the Lord said to Gideon, get up, go down against the camp, because I'm going to give it into your hands. But if you're afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what they're saying. Afterwards, you'll be encouraged to attack the camp. So Gideon, and just in case you're still afraid, go down. So Gideon, what? He's afraid. He goes down. And as he's sneaking down, he hears two of the Midianites in a tent, and they say, listen, I had a dream that this big loaf of bread comes rolling down the hill, and it wipes out our tents. And the other guy says, that's the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And Gideon got courage. And he took the men down there, and the Lord delivered them from the Midianites. See, God will show you over and over and over again for whatever it takes until your thick skull gets into your head, right? You know why? Because he's a good God. And he's a patient God. And he wants you to know it's him that's speaking to you. So today we're going to talk about three confirmations to know that God is speaking to you. And we have a couple of alliterations up here in case you really like that stuff. His word, his wisdom, and his ways, and in case you don't like the letter W, his principles, his people, and his peace, his character, his counsel, and his calm. So pick one of those, write it down, put it into memory so you know this is how God confirms when he's speaking to you. First confirmation is God's word, his principles, and his character. God's voice will never contradict God's word. Everybody hear that? His voice will never contradict God's word. Now I'm going to talk about something that's a little sensitive, so please hear my heart. I have a heart of love about this, but it needs to be spoken about. So Matthew chapter 19, verse 3, these Pharisees are going to try to get Jesus. They're going to try to catch him in a trap. Some Pharisees came to him, to Jesus, to test him, and they asked this, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? Like, is it just okay to just go and say, hey, I don't like you anymore. And so Jesus said, they're trying to trap Jesus, and this is what he says. Haven't you read? Don't you know what the Bible says? Haven't you read the scriptures? And they're saying, we're asking, what is your opinion on this? What is God's voice on this? And the first thing he says is, haven't you read? And then he goes back this, that at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. We've all heard this at a wedding. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. That's what the Bible says. He says, so they're like, come on, Jesus, now, big test now. We're going to see what you think about this. And he goes, I don't have to tell you what I think. It's in the Word of God. Now, listen to me for just a second, okay? Then they go into this whole thing and they said, well, Moses in the Old Testament gave them a certificate of divorce that the men could give to the women. And the reason that Moses did that was what happened was back then that these guys had their first wives and they loved them. And then after a while, they got tired of them. So they got a second wife and a third wife, and they began to emotionally, physically, and spiritually abuse their first wife. But their wife was bound by the contract. So Moses went to God, and God says, you can give the men, allow them to give a certificate of divorce so these women can get out of these abusive situations, because they're not being treated like the queens that they should be treated. And so he gives that. But Jesus said this, it was not that way in the beginning. That's not how God intended it to be. So they're trying to trap Jesus. Now, when I speak about stuff like this, it's incredibly tough. Because I know that there are people here that have had tough situations that you have gone through. And I just want you to know that no one at Streams or God or anybody I know thinks that you are a second-class citizen. I have all the love in my heart. But especially in this culture, the Word of God speaks to this. I think I need to speak to it as a pastor. And I must be faithful. So Malachi says this. Malachi says that God hates divorce, but he doesn't say he hates divorced people. And the best illustration I could say is God hates car wrecks. God hates car wrecks because people get hurt, families get broken up, children might die. But he doesn't hate people that drive cars. He just hates it when people get in car wrecks. And it's the same way with divorce. I am a child that has gone through divorce with a family. Guess what? I hate divorce because I hate what it did to my family and I hate what it did to me. But that doesn't mean I hate my stepdad. I don't hate him. I just hate what we had to go through. I hope you understand that I'm saying this love. Here's the thing is this. The Pharisees said, we want to hear your voice about divorce. We're going to try to trap you. And Jesus just said this. I don't have to really tell you because it's already written in the Word of God. You don't have to get my opinion. It's right here. It was written. And I want to say this because it happened at men's retreat. And we had a lot of our men there. And so I'm your pastor and I'm your shepherd and I have to guard you. And there's this wonderful man who got up and he told this story, his testimony, that a year ago he was at men's retreat and all these guys were around him and they had this wonderful bond. But he goes home and he finds out his wife was unfaithful. And then he says this word in his testimony, and God told me to divorce my wife. And these guys stood beside me and they stood with me on my decision to do this. Right? So I just went, And I'm like, I got a lot of men here who are trying to work through their marriages, and I just don't know that that's the right thing to say. And so I called the leader and the pastor over this guy, and I said, you know what? Great testimony. Love how guys, but maybe you should talk to him about saying, God told me to divorce my wife, because according to my understanding of Scripture, Jesus just said, I don't have to really speak about this. And he just thought, you're judging him. And everybody, I said, no, I'm not judging him. I'm just saying, I would coach him in saying the statement that it's not good when you're speaking to 500 men to say, God gave me an out. Because some of those guys are going to go, maybe God's given me an out too. I don't want that to my church. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's just not something that he said. Now, this is personal to me. Let me tell you why it's personal to me. Because when I was 15, my stepdad came to faith in Christ, started following Jesus, and was reading his Bible, and after 6 months came to my mother and I and said, God told me it's okay to divorce you because I don't love you anymore. Well, I'm like, God said that at 15 years old? I don't think God said that. I know God didn't say that, okay? See, we don't have to pray about something. I hope you're hearing my heart, right? This is the Word of God. God will never contradict His Word. And there are people all the time that take one scripture out of context, and that's how they make cults. And so just to lighten the mood just a little bit, okay? There's all kinds of things that you can take out of context and prove things. So I can prove that King David had a motorcycle, because the scripture said David's triumph was heard throughout the land. So, see, you can do stuff like that. I can prove to you that Moses played tennis, because it said Moses refused to serve in the courts of Pharaoh. And I heard a pastor say this once, and it wasn't me, because I would never say anything like this. I would never say this. He said, I can prove to you there will be no women in heaven. This is what this guy said. Because Revelation says in heaven, there was not a sound heard for 30 minutes. I wouldn't say that. And this and this woman came up to him after the service. She goes, I guess there won't be any preachers there either, right? Yeah, there we go. Now we're talking. So, I'm just telling you now, this word gives life. And if you live it, you'll live in life. And I believe with all my heart. Second thing is, does godly counsel agree? How do I know it's God? Wisdom, people, and counsel. Godly counsel is this. Listen to me. People who really know God well, people know His Word well, and people who know you well. That's godly counsel. Because you can go to a lot of people who probably don't know you, and you will finally find somebody that agrees with you. But here's the important part. We believe this at Streams. They need to know you well. Because they'll go, I don't know, Lloyd. I know you. And I'm not sure that was God. And I know you think. And they can challenge you on this. And it's really, really important. I have Proverbs 12:15 says this, the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Proverbs 19:20, listen to advice and accept discipline. That's somebody speaking into your life. And at the end, you will be counted among the wise. And Proverbs 24:6, surely you need guidance to wage war, and victory is won through many advisors. And one of the jobs that I have as a shepherd is to discern when people say, you know, God spoke to me, what do you think? And I've had people, especially when it comes to like marriage and there's conflicts, and they said, let's go talk to Pastor Lloyd. He is a man of God. Let's get his spiritual advice. And they'll come to me, and somebody will eventually say, God told me, and I have spiritual discernment, and then they'll lay out their argument. And I'll listen it, and I'll say, yeah, I don't know. I don't think that was God. And guess what their new spiritual discernment is? Pastor Lloyd doesn't know what he's talking about. No, I'm not lying. And they have all kinds of spiritual discernment about me after that. Right? But I'm saying, I know the situation. I know you. I know what's going down. And I just don't know if that's what God's speaking to you. Let me tell you something right now. Listen to me. Here's the thing. I know God. I know the Word. And sometimes I just can't put my spiritual stamp of approval when people are trying to leverage me to get their way in a disagreement. I have men in my life, and you know this because I talk about it all the time, who know God really well. They're older than me. They know the Word really well, and they know me really well. That's the man I saw this week. And so when I go to them, I said, you know, I think the Lord's speaking this to me, and I listen. And some of them have veto power in my life. I've just given it to them. I trust them that much. And if they say stop, I stop. And we wait. Godly counsel is somebody who knows God well, knows the Word well, and knows you really well. The third way to know this is, do I have peace? Do I have peace? Because eventually when you go through that process, God will give you peace. The scripture says this, Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's peace that goes beyond your understanding. And the guard word here is a military term. It's a garrison. And so it says, the peace of God will be like a garrison of guardian angels around you to protect your heart and your mind. And that's what God does. God wants to speak to you. But when He does, here's how you can confirm it. Does it line up with God's Word? Can I take it to godly counsel and they'll confirm it? And at the end of the day, when it's all said, will God give me peace? And you're like, well, that seems like it's going to take a long time. Sometimes it does. But don't move, don't act until you do. Well, how long? Remember Gideon? However long it takes. That's what God's saying. Well, we're obsessed with time. And God's like, I got all the time in eternity, not even the world. So if you need 3 confirmations, I'll give you 3. If you need 6, I'll give you 6. Because I want you to know that I'm speaking to you. The beauty of this is that God speaks to us, and we don't have to just like, oh my gosh, I don't know. We can actually take it and go through confirmations and then come to a place where we're like, yeah, God, you are speaking to me. Wasn't it beautiful, my story? I'm in a situation, I'm talking to a guy, and all of a sudden, confirmation, confirmation, and confirmation. I can walk in confidence going forward. God spoke to me. And he wants to speak to you, right? And he wants to give you peace. So if you'll stand, I want to pray for you. The worship team is going to come forward. So I was preparing. There's some people here, and you've sort of gone through the process. You think you've heard God, and you've gone to the Word, and you've got some godly counsel, but you're just sitting there right now. You're just sitting on this teetering going, I don't know if I have peace about this. Right now, I want to pray that God will give you that. He'll tip the scales either way. He'll give you a check in your spirit, or he'll give you total peace. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, I just pray that you would confirm the Word right now. Whether it's through just through a rush of peace or through a hard check. And so we commit our way to you, Lord. And we know when we do that, you will guide our path and they will become straight. And I want to thank you that you speak. Not only you speak, Lord, you love me so much, you'll confirm it until it's cement in my heart and I know it's you. And you love me and you're patient with me. And if you're glad for that, would you just say amen to that? Let's sing this song today. If you need prayer, right? There will be people up here in the front that will be glad to pray for you. They are people who know God well. They know His Word well. And they'll speak in your life. So you need to take advantage of this. It's here every week. You don't have to be a member of our church. Come forward during this song if you like prayer.
This has been a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit streamschurch.org.